Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Tessa. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be back.
So happy to have you back. So you have a brand new series. You have a brand new location and a new town. So tell us a little bit what you've been up to this past year.
Well, nothing like everybody else. So writing has, kind of been my escape since this whole pandemic started, and especially in towards the beginning, like when everybody was in full lockdown, that's when I wrote It Happened One Summer, and it just kind of became the place I was going, and instead of outside or traveling or going places, and I just escaped into this world that I created. And I don't know, it, like I said, it just really felt like a little bit of extra magic in this one. And I don't know if it was like that I was so fully focused on that and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was focused on was just kind of like television, because that was really all that we had to do in those days. And like Schitt's Creek kind of was the thing that got me through. And just the warm glow of that show, and just the way that all the characters are so accepting and wonderful, and I don't know how to explain it, a little bit quirky. And I fell in love with that show, and particularly Alexis Rose, the character of Alexis Rose. And so I really wanted to write a heroine that was kind of based on her. And so that's Piper from It Happened One Summer. She's like, she's a spoiled socialite. She doesn't have to work for anything. She's got her stepdad's money. And then she messes it up. She throws this giant party and ends up in jail. So then her stepfather basically cuts her off and sends her to this town of Westport in the Pacific Northwest, where she meets Brendan, our grumpy sea captain hero.
So how do you pick Westport? Because it's like a very specific town, hard to reach. There's a fishing town. Like, what was the process of identifying this town to be the location for Piper's, escape or, basically get out of jail, purgatory space that she had to be?
Yeah, it was kind of just, it just was one of the first few that I wanted something that had like a proximity to the Bering Sea, like a close proximity, because they're king crab fishermen, the heroes in the book. It's right there. It's on the ocean. You can take your boat and be in the Bering Sea in a couple of hours. Like, it's very close. And so that was probably the main selling point for that location. But then when I started researching Westport, and I started looking at pictures on their Instagram, their town Instagram, and doing more research on how like long and enduring this port has been and how it's provided for this town for so long, that it became this like magical fairy tale land for me, And I really don't usually write small towns. I write New York City. I write like Long Island, close to New York City. And so this was different for me. It was an escape, and I was kind of grateful that I pulled it off, because I don't necessarily live in a small town, and I don't know what that feels like necessarily. So I think that's another way the Schitt's Creek helped me, just watching these people like kind of adapt, and how the process of that was really helpful.
Yeah, I think that's like a big part of it. It's the process of adapting to a smaller town, like not being in the metropolitan area, like not being in LA or New York. Like, it's a shock to the system. And I think you got the shock to the system for Piper, and like realizing like, holy crap, like there's no Uber, there's no specific things like amenities, Slump it.
Yeah, and I think I probably I probably made the town seem a little less, welcoming than it actually is, because, you know, if you go and you do some research on Westport, you'll see they do have beautiful places to stay and things like that. But then Piper and Hannah couldn't afford that. They only had one option, and it was to stay in this, you know, rundown, like airless room above the bar, and, you know, with I think a rat population living in it.
Yes, and the bunk beds. She had to
get the bunk beds.
So let's talk about Brandon, your grumpy hero, sea captain hero, who is ooey gooey in the inside. who has no shame about liking her on Instagram or following her, even though he doesn't have any Instagram followers or any Instagram people, like, you know. So talk to us about the process of developing as a hero.
That's like one of my things about my heroes. I never really like them to have a bunch of social media knowledge or even to like it at all. I'm like, I always want them to be like, kind of like, oh, I don't do that. I don't know why. It's like some sort of, I like the throwback of that to, you know, like the kind of like old fashioned men. But yeah, Brendan, you know, he's kind of like almost like, I just wanted him to be like synonymous with the ocean, kind of like that eternal, like, you know, it's always doing the same thing every day. It's got the ebb and the pull of the moon, and it's like you can set your watch on him. He's always dependable, he's always going to be there, and he fulfills his duty, and he like loves tradition. And so that's Brendan, you know. And I really just wanted him to be unexpected for Piper, because she has been dating these men in Los Angeles that, you know, like live and die by how many likes they get on their posts, kind of like she does. And Brendan is just not that. And he makes her examine herself, you know, like he makes her examine the world around her and really makes her consider her life, you know. And he's just, I don't know how to explain him. He's just like, he decided he wanted her. And then he just decided, okay, I'm going to go and throw my lot in, go 100%, court this woman and make her think she's fabulous. And he doesn't try to change her. He likes her exactly how she is. He likes to spoil her. He likes to give her nice things. But you know, he also just like makes her realize kind of inadvertently that she has so much more to offer on the inside, you know.
I love Piper's character arc, like her growth throughout the story. Like it was like a heroine story. Like even though Brandon was there and he was like the stable part of it, Piper grew from spoiled brat into this, you know, well-rounded being of like, you know, accepting, like she's embracing this life that's just beyond the likes, beyond who she's popular with or how she's photographed or what's going on, you know, in the world, in the LA world. So
go ahead. Oh no, I wasn't gonna say anything. I was just gonna agree with you.
So what can we expect about her, like hook, line, sinker?
Yeah, so Hook, Line, and Sinker is the follow-up story that comes in March. You know, if you've read It Happened One Summer, you know who the characters are. You know, mm-hmm. The hero is Fox, who is also a king crab fisherman, but he's kind of like Brendan's first mate. And he's very like responsibility free. And he's like Brendan's exact opposite. He's definitely a playboy. He's definitely a womanizer. But then he meets Hannah, Piper's little sister, and they become like really good friends. Like they just kind of become friends throughout the course of this book. And he likes her so much, and she likes him for his personality. And there's no sex expectation at all. And it really kind of makes him feel something, and he doesn't really know what it is yet. I don't want to like, you know, give anything away. And then it just basically makes him feel, I guess, more worthy and more deserving of people's time, that when it's not related to his body. So they become good friends, and then she goes back to Los Angeles at the end of the first book. So when we come in Hook, Line, and Sinker, 6 months has passed, and they've kept in touch. I'll just say that.
I love this. I love their trip to Seattle. That was like my favorite part of the book. The whole trip to Seattle, the whole convention stuff. It was like, oh my God. So I love Hema's story, and I'm excited to see her story, you know, how she unfolds. And so.
Yeah, Hannah, like, she was in danger of stealing the show a couple of times. Like, I really just loved her character. And she kind of didn't have the same experience that Piper had in the book with their, like, reconnecting with her father's memory. Mm-hmm. So she has to go on her own journey of kind of, like, discovering the past. And it really leads to some interesting things for her. You know, like, she's kind of at a crossroads with her career. And it just kind of collides, this like mission to connect with her past and this future that she wants. And it's a really, it just takes an interesting turn. And I didn't even see it coming. So it was great. It was great to watch. It's just great to watch heroines realize what they're capable of and reach for it. And then these men that are like encouraging them, you know, it's what I like to write.
Love this. So you self-published a couple books this past year. So talk to us about a couple of those titles that you self-published. You had The Paranormal, you had The Sweet One. So
I finished up my paranormal series, my vampires, the Phenomenal Fate series. And then I self-published The Sweetest Fix, which was, it's in Kindle Unlimited. It's like it's kind of shorter, on the shorter side. It's like not necessarily a novella, but it's like a quick read. And it's about an aspiring Broadway dancer who misses her audition with this like big Broadway producer. And she decides to go find his son to try and get the son to intervene on her behalf to get a second audition. And then she changes her mind because she just doesn't want to use him. She likes him right away. But then he pursues her. And so she gets in deeper and deeper with this guy who she initially was going to deceive. And so it's fun. It's a funny, it's a funny romantic comedy, but it's also pretty emotional and romantic. So, and it's got my Leo, my big pouty man, Bear Baker hero. I love writing heroes that have some like meat on their bones, you know, like he's not your typical hero. So.
Yeah. I love this. And it's something in Unlimited. So it's like perfect. If you need a little taster.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what has been a couple of books you have read this past year, or do you have blurb or anything that you recommend our listeners to pick up?
I loved, I think my favorite read this year was Love at First by Kate Claiborne.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, first of all, I didn't realize like how, I was like, I didn't know I needed a doctor hero, and I did so badly. I was like, wow, I don't read doctor heroes. Like, they're very few and far between, it seems, for me. And so it's this woman, this young woman who, she's like the only young person in her building. She lives in this building with all these people, these older people who have been living there their entire lives. And then one of them passes away, and his nephew comes in and like inherits the apartment and decides to rent it out as an Airbnb. And she's like, oh no, no, no. And so they like go to war over it, but they're like falling in love. And it's just, it's like this beautiful warm bath of book. Like, it's beautiful. She just writes so swoony.
It's so good. I actually, it's funny enough, like, I read it, I have moved to Chicago and I've been on my own, like working in my old company. So I can identify with her working in like in a different coast and living in Chicago, like trying to make it work. And I'm still like trying to create a community in your apartment building, you know, like try to deal with this stuff. And I was like, I felt like it was just like the book was written for me. Like, it was so good. And the Dr. Hero, oh. And the poetry nights, the whole poetry nights that she had,
and the poetry reading.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love your heroes because they're so thoughtful. Like, they're thinkers, you know, like they really are. They're thinking about everything. Like, they notice every expression, and they notice every movement of the heroine and her moods, and like they're just watching everything and taking it in. And it's like, that's such porn for me, like someone who, like a hero who's actually paying attention. Like, I just love that.
Yeah, Yes, I think that that's such a great book. So awesome. So tell us where you can find out.
You can find me on Instagram at Tessa Bailey is an author. I'm on TikTok now. I think it's author Tessa Bailey. I'm pretty sure that that's my handle. And then, yeah, you go to TessaBailey.com as well. And all my releases should be up there. That's where I'm at. I'm not really on Twitter very often. So I've been going on this week because it's release week to like retweet people that are being, you know, kind enough to post about my book, but I stay off of it because it's too consuming.
So thank you, Tessa, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.